Welcome, everybody. I don't mean to silence the singing, but you could continue, please, too. It's beautiful. Actually, anytime you feel led to sing in this place, please do that. We want to, as we talked about this morning, fill the place with the praises of the Lord, because he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you feel led to just, if you've been gifted with that voice, please. Welcome. This is the noon hour. I'm so grateful for everyone that's here at Calvary Chapel Knoxville and those joining us live streaming through Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and the rest of you online joining us from all over, just knitting our hearts together in Jesus' love and stretching our hands across this nation to embrace it with Jesus' love and really to blanket this nation in prayer in this season. This is a gift from the Lord that he's given us, and I just rejoice in it, and I'm so grateful for all the hearts who are pouring out in prayer and uniting together in this really beautiful concert of prayer that we're doing in this season. Today, the name of the Lord, you know, that we're looking at for the theme is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And we were looking at the story of Joshua when he was about to enter into the promised land. And at first, he was confronted with the great battle of Jericho. And upon entrance to that, he met with really the commander of the armies of the angels. So it's a picture of the Lord of hosts, but we don't hear his name. We hear the commander of the armies of heaven in that. And here's Joshua. He is a leader of an army. And he is approached by this man. And he's very brave and courageous. And he questions him, are you with us or are you against us? And that's the question that we're going to ask here in this noon hour, because this time frame is for repentance. We begin in the morning with worship and praise, adoring. We're walking through the act, you know, how we pray. We're doing acts: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So in the evening hour, we'll be doing the supplicating. But during this hour, we're going to spend it repenting. We're going to stand in the gap on behalf of the church, the body of Christ, because that's who the Lord is ministering to right now in this hour, in order that we have some breakthrough and that we can have our hearts broken open and really create a channel, a clear channel, through which the Lord can pour out his blessings upon the earth that we so desperately need. And so we see this in the story of Joshua. It's Joshua chapter 5. If you didn't get the email this morning, and if you haven't received them and you've signed up, you might want to check your spam folders. But we're still working on all that. So just I pray you'll have a little patience with that with us as we're working through all the details. But here's a man who was a brave military leader. He knew what it was like to have troops under his command. And he is approached by this glorious man who announces himself as the commander of the armies of heaven. And he was taught a lesson in that moment that the Lord wants each of us to learn. We all need to learn. If we intend to lead in any way, we need to know that we're not in command. We're in second command. It's Christ Jesus himself who is in command. And Joshua learned that he was under a higher authority, and so are we. And we read in Ephesians 1, it says this. This is Ephesians 1, verses 20 to 23. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly place, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. So we know Christ Jesus, our Lord of hosts, the commander of the armies of heaven, he is head over all. And Joshua was confronted with this man. Really, it's called a theophany, a revelation of the pre-incarnate Christ. He got to be in his presence, and he realized that that was the authority that he was under. And that same authority is given to us in Christ. It says in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, our theme verse chapter is Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, 7 and 11, you know, we're told, you know, that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, and that he's ever present. And that's what Joshua learned, that the Lord was with him. Here was a man who was having to go to battle, and I'm sure he felt very lonely, walking around that evening, now, you know, looking around and figuring out, what is our strategy going to be? How are we going to enter into the land? How are we going to take it captive? And in that moment, in his crisis moment, the Lord was there to do battle for him and to say, this battle is not yours, it's mine. And he was going to lead him in. And we need to know that. We're under a higher authority, but we're under an authority that is faithful and good, who's already gone before us, who's already fought our battles for us. And he's just asking us to follow him in, to go to the promised land, to go deeper in. He's given all authority, and he's given us that privilege of going out in his name and knowing that he is with us always. He will never leave or forsake us. It is our duty as his children to listen to the word that he speaks to us and obey every word. Joshua, being a man who had authority over others, understood what that meant to obey. And when he found he was under the authority of the commander of the armies of heaven, he obeyed at a word. And we're taught to do that as well. We cannot expect that our commander in chief is going to send us out to conquer if we haven't first conquered our own disobedient hearts. If we're disobedient in any way to the Lord's commands that he has over us, he's not going to send us out to conquer. He's going to take the time to conquer our hearts first. And so he knows in this season that we as his body, we're weak, that we need power to restore power, lost power in the church. And that's why he's coming to us in this season and reminding us that he is the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. He wants us to come under his authority. He wants us to conquer in us that disobedience, that rebellious heart that we have. An interesting part of that story in Joshua chapter 5, if you go to the beginning of that story, it's talking about the Israelites. They had set up camp. They were in their tents, and they had neglected the ordinance of the Lord. So they just had pitched their tents in the world. They weren't doing what God had commanded them to do. And the two ordinances they were disobedient in were circumcision and observing the Passover. And the Lord was not going to allow them to enter into the promised land until they were obedient to those two ordinances. And so if you read that, that's your homework, to read that chapter 5 and see. And it wasn't until that happened that Joshua met the commander of the armies of heaven and was led into battle. And they had victory. We will not have victory until we deal with the sin in our lives, with the sin in the church. We need to be spotless and clean. The Lord expects that. He is going to present us clean and spotless in robes of white. Their disobedience, if we look at that story, their disobedience meant defeat. And if it wasn't for the obedience of one man, Joshua, who called their attention to it and made sure they observed the circumcision and observed the Passover, they would not have gone into the promised land in victory. It's interesting, we mentioned earlier, during the first service together, Isaiah 55 talks about how the Lord's ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways, right? And so here was an entire army of Israelites about to go and conquer a land that's been promised to them. They've been promised this land. They're now being told, after 40 years of wilderness wandering that they're going to go in and conquer the land. And you would think as a military unit, they needed to be in their greatest fighting shape, right? They needed to be strong. And what does God have them do at that very moment? Circumcise all the men, put them in the most weakest state they could possibly be in. And that just shows us that the Lord's way of doing battle, it's not our way. He will bring us to a place of weakness so that we rest in his strength. He says that his grace is sufficient, for his power is made perfect in weakness. So we see in this wonderful story in Joshua 5 that, you know, God's strategy for doing battle is much higher than ours, very extraordinary, and it's going to be radically different than we would ever think that you would do something. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 6 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We don't wage war that way. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's where our strength comes. It comes in his might, not ours. And if we want the Lord to command a blessing upon us in this season, upon the church, upon this nation, upon the world, then it's going to begin in the house of the Lord. He says, judgment begins in my house. And so he's giving this really this gracious season. It's really a visitation of the Lord of the hosts, who's coming in as the militant God, fighting and warring on our behalf. And he's asking us to prepare for battle, but he's going to prepare us for battle the way he did with the Israelites, circumcision of the heart. He's going to circumcise our hearts. He's going to consecrate us more fully to himself. Doesn't make sense, Lord. Shouldn't we be doing something now? Shouldn't we be out there pounding the pavement? And the Lord's like, I want you to be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your refuge. I want to make you strong and mighty. So we need to yield to his mighty sword. Remember when this commander of the angel armies stood in front of Joshua before he entered the promised land, what was he holding? He had a sword in his right hand. And so the Lord's holding up his sword, and he's coming into his church as a great physician, and he wants to do this cutting work and cut out the thing that's hurting us, cut out the thing that's killing us, cut out the cancer that's destroying us in the church. And he wants to purify his body, the body of Christ, so that we can become whole and healthy and holy. We cannot conquer the world if we haven't first conquered our hearts and returned to the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and get back to doing the things that we've neglected to do, spending time with him in communion and fellowship in his word, in prayer, in fellowship. We need to get back to those things. We talked about last night when we inaugurated this season in prayer and praise that we've been invited in this season to stand in the place of power, right? And that power that's been given, you know, the Lord's instructed or has entrusted to his church great power to move the world. And that power comes in prayer. But that channel needs to be clear. We need to be close. We need to be hearing the heart of our Lord and pray in accordance with his heart in that. And so we're weak if there's sin in our life, if there's disobedience in our life, if there's neglect in our life. And in order to restore that lost power back to the church and bring healing to the land, we need to repent. And that's what this noon hour is going to be for during the 21 days. And I'm going to tell you that when we did the 40 days, 8 years ago at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, that noon hour started out very small group of people, but became one of our best times of the day. There's something powerful about that. After you come out of a time of adoring the Lord and gazing upon the majesty of God and seeing the sovereignty of God and worshiping him in the beauty of holiness, you see yourself as nothing but dust. You see yourself as a worm and just in need of his mercy. And so we come before him in that spirit of repentance. We need to repent that we don't live near enough to God as we should. We've gotten distracted by things in this world, and we've kind of walked away a little bit. That first love flame dwindling just a little bit, maybe starting to go out. Our hearts aren't warm towards people. We get kind of a little cold in how we treat people. We need to repent that we're indulging in things that our holy eyes should never look upon. If you are a man of God or a woman of God, there are things your holy eyes should never look upon because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. We should not be doing that. We need to repent. We need to repent of speaking evil words that these purified lips should never speak. We need the Lord to come with a coal from his altar and anoint our lips again today. We need to be purged of every fleshly defilement, of every sinful thought, of every wrong ambition, of every carnal desire. If we want to be useful to our master, we need to repent. If we want to be part of his troops willing on the day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty, then we need to repent. You know, sin is the thing that is blocking the channel of God's mercy to come through. And that's why he sanctified this season. This is not the planning of man. This is providential planning that God has purposed in this season, the sanctified season, to give an opportunity to clear the channel with fasting and prayer. Clear that channel so that the whatever is stopping the blockage, all the sin, all the self, all the flesh, all the carnal desire, all the world, he wants to clear it out of the way so that we can be holy as he's holy. Connect to his heart, his pure heart, to come up to that atmosphere where the air is purified and rarefied, that heavenly air, breathe it in and be able to release out of the heart of God what he wants to do with this land to bring healing. So today, for this session, for this hour that we're together, we're just going to spend our time repenting. Now, it's personal repentance, but we're standing in the gap for the church as well. So we're going to repent for all the sins, whatever the Spirit lays upon you. We need to be just praying for those things that we see that is in the body of Christ, in the world. There needs to be cleansing, and that needs to happen. And we're going to go ahead and spend our time doing that in just a moment here. You know, the commander of the armies of the Lord, like I said, he has that mighty sword. And he's going to come and he's going to cut and he's going to kill the thing in us that's standing in our way. Deuteronomy 32, 39 says, "Now see that I, even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand." The power of life and death is in the hands of our Lord. And we need to trust him with our lives in this hour. Trust him with what he's doing to make us healthy. He cares about us. He loves us. He wants to see us whole, and he wants to see us holy. So let's go before the Lord now. Again, I'm going to take the posture of prayer on the floor. And again, whatever your posture of prayer looks like, if you need to walk around, lift your hands, the mic's going to be open if you want to come up here. And I encourage you, because we do have people listening online, they want to hear the prayers, especially if you're reading prayer out of the Word. Again, we're connecting the Word of God with our prayers because we know that God's Word is eternal, that when we speak God's Word, it's not going to fall to the ground, that is going to go forth to accomplish what he purposed it. So I just encourage you, you can come up and pick up the microphone. You can stand or sit or kneel and pray whatever the Lord has placed upon your heart in that moment. And again, we're standing in the gap in this season as we're repenting. So just everyone's prayers need to come together with that. And then we'll just continue for that, just in that spirit of prayer and repentance for this hour. And then when we come back this evening at 6, we'll have an opportunity for just thanksgiving and be able to seek the Lord with all of these great needs, many needs. We prayed for, just so the people who know who've been submitting the requests, we prayed for a lot of the prayers this afternoon. There was a team here praying, and your prayer requests are being prayed, being brought before the throne. And I just encourage that. Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and other places that you do the same, is just cover the altar with all the prayer requests. I remember at the end of the 40 days, it was actually on election day in 2016, over the 40 days, we had collected thousands of prayer requests. And that day, the Lord said, pray over them one more time. So we came in with the bags and we just covered the altar. I mean, it was covered with all these pieces of paper with prayer requests. And during that time, the whole auditorium was full of people. People just come up and pray. And every single one of those prayers were touched one more time. And by the end of that day, there wasn't a single prayer left on the altar. It was just a really beautiful picture of God's answers to prayer. So just know that's what's happening in these 21 days. God is doing a mighty work as our Lord of hosts. He's coming in with power. He's doing warfare on our behalf. He's warring on behalf of his bride. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to be militant. And he wants us to go out in victory to conquer the land. And we're going to do that if we do what we're doing right now, repent. So let's go before him and pray. Heavenly Father, we are before you. God, our hearts are open to you right now, Lord Jesus. From coast to coast, Lord, you hear the hearts of your children desiring to honor you, Lord. We see where we are dishonoring you, Lord. We see where we're diminishing your glory, God, where people can't see, Lord, the true beauty of holiness because, Lord, we are filthy. We're asking you today to examine and search our hearts, Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I want to be holy because you're holy. I know you want to see your church holy. Your bride dressed in white, spotless, Lord. Come in with that sword blazing, Lord Jesus, and cut to the heart and kill everything in our lives that's killing us and destroying the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness in our lives. Lord, we're here to stand in the gap for those who do not know that they're under a curse of death. We're here to repent on behalf of your body, your bride, and this nation. Lord, a world that's in rebellion against a holy God. You say in your word that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are crimson, they shall be as wool. So, Lord, come and cleanse our hearts. Show us how to pray with your heart, Lord Jesus. We pray right now, especially for impurity, God. This is, Lord, where there is any evil or unholy thought. And we know that unholy thoughts turn into unholy actions. So God, we pray for this dangerous, sinful thing called impurity, that you would come into the hearts and minds of your people and remove it. Romans 6:19 says that just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows to cause trouble and defile many." So, Lord, as we pray and repent for impurity in the body of Christ, Lord, we look to you and your character. You are pure. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Lord, we want that. We want your righteousness. We want your holiness. We want, Lord, to represent you in all your beauty, holiness. So, Lord, take captive our minds right now. We pray Philippians 4:8 over every impure, sinful heart right now and mind. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Lord Jesus, the pure and holy one, would that word fall upon your bride today to think those thoughts that honor you, so that our actions will be pure because our thoughts are pure. Come in a powerful way and cleanse us by your mighty, powerful blood. We plead the blood of Jesus over your bride today. Cleanse us and wash us clean in your mighty name.
Father, you are holy and you're merciful. God, there is not one thought or anything in our heart that goes unseen by you, Lord. We are exposed fully. Father, I ask that you would reveal anything in our hearts that are setting itself up against you. God, the word confess, repent, return keeps coming to mind. Father, keep us from deceitful ways. Be gracious to us and teach us your word, God, that we would choose the way of faithfulness, that we would set in our hearts your laws, O God, that we will hold fast to your statutes, Lord, that we will not be put to shame. God, that let us run in the path of your commands versus running in the path of destruction, God. You have broadened our understanding. Give us understanding, Lord. In our human capacity, we are not able, but it is in your will, God, that we can understand. Teach us your way, O God. Give us understanding so that we can keep your law, that we will obey it with all of our hearts. Direct us in the path of your commands, that we will find delight there. Turn our hearts towards your statutes and not towards any selfish gain. God, turn our eyes away from worthless things. Preserve our life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to us, God, so that we may fear you, Lord. Take away any disgrace that we dread, that we would see that your laws are good. Father, I ask that you would rekindle in our hearts a love for one another, that there would be no coldness, God, but that we would truly see each and every person in the church, each and every person out when we're out and about. God, get rid of anything that is critical or condemning. Father, give us a pure heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. Oh, merciful God, we come acknowledging our sin to you, oh God. We confess, Lord Jesus, that there are times, God, when your church is trying to do a holy work apart from the Holy Spirit, that we are functioning in our flesh, God, and it is evident, Lord Jesus, in our homes and in our congregation and in our workplaces, God, because there is envy and dissension and pride, God. And we know, God, that your word says that every evil thing is there, God, when we are functioning, God, in a self-seeking manner. God, we come before you, God, asking God to purify us. May we truly be living sacrifices, God. Dead to ourselves, God, and living for you. Living for your namesake, Lord Jesus. Give us pure passion, God. Give us a hunger and a desire, God, for the lost. Lord Jesus, break our hearts for what breaks you. God, you say that we'll be known by our love, God. Fill us with your love, God, so that we may truly love others, God. We are sorry, Lord Jesus. We repent, God, for the things in our lives, God, that we have given priority to over you. Forgive us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we repent of the sin of ingratitude. We're so ungrateful. We've been lavish with an everlasting love, bathed in the riches of your grace, saturated in the greatness of your love. Forgive us, Lord, for being so ungrateful, so unthankful. We become more and more selfish as a result of it. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Lord, cleanse our heart. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Lord, you need to come with a holy house cleaning upon your people. We want to look like you, Jesus. You were the most grateful person that ever lived. You looked up to the Father at the tomb of Lazarus and you said, "I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." You were so grateful, even though they pursued you to kill you, God. They mocked you, beat you, and stripped you. But you were grateful. Give us a grateful heart, Lord. Cure us of our ingratitude. Cure us of our selfishness. We repent. Colossians 2, 6 through 8 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Lord, give to us a thankful heart. Lord Jesus, you're giving us an opportunity to come back to the heart of God, to be bathed in your word, and to be cleansed of all that has defiled your church. Lord, your glory departed the temple because they had defiled it with their terrible crimes, their pagan practices, and their sin. And the glory only returned because it was holy and a place where God could dwell. And that's what our heart is, Lord, your temple, holy and pure, where your presence can dwell. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, for forgiveness, Lord, where in our heart there are terrible crimes, pagan and idolatrous practices, and sin. We repent of it, Lord Jesus, and ask that you would come, as you say in Malachi 3, Lord, with your refiner's fire and your launderer's soap, and cleanse and purify your priesthood. Purge them as gold and silver, that we may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. We repent, Lord. Come cleanse our hearts. Make them a holy temple once again. And your house, the house of God, that it will be a house of prayer, even the gate of heaven. We pray in your mighty name.
Father God, we ask that you would put to death anything that belongs to our earthly nature. Father, we ask forgiveness, Lord, with any impure thought, lustful thought, evil desire, greed, idolatry, God. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would take our tongue and allow us, Lord Jesus, the power to be controlled by the Spirit, that we are not men or women who are ruled by our mouth, God, that causes evil. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would get rid and forgive us of anger, forgive us of rage, malice, slander, any filthy language that comes from our lips. We ask, God, that we would be truthful with each other, that we would not lie to one another, that there would be no division, that there would be no jealousy or pride, that we would not be in our old self, but that we would put on the new self that you have given to us freely because of the blood that you shed for our shame and our wickedness, God. Make us chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that we would clothe ourselves with your compassion, your kindness, your humility, your gentleness, and your patience. That we would not be so quick to be offended by their people, but that we would be, that we would bear with each other and forgive one another any grievances we have against someone, Lord. Forgive because you already forgave us, God. I pray that we would understand the love that you have so that your love can be poured out, Lord Jesus, to everyone else. Your word says that when we put on love, which binds them all together, and perfect unity. I pray unity, God, in the peace of you, Christ Jesus. You rule in our hearts, God. In Jesus' name.
Oh Lord, I'm just so sorry. You said because of me, your name is defamed. Because of your church, Lord God, I'm so sorry that my heart has grown cold, that I have not been abiding in you. I say I love you, but I don't choose you first above the cares of the world, above daily tasks. God, forgive me. Forgive your church. Our hearts deceive us. We deceive others. We put on a form of godliness, but our righteousness is as filthy rags. Oh God, we need you. We can't do it on our own to be cleansed. We seek not just your hands, but your face. Have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy on your church. May we turn back to you. You spoke to the church in Laodicea and you said, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Lord, let your church help us to be refired. Fan the flame within us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to cleanse our temples I think of your word that's living and active, that's Jesus. And it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, we thank you that the sword cuts both ways. Cut my heart, circumcise my heart, circumcise the heart of your church. You said, Peter, rend our hearts and not our garments. You said a broken and contrite heart you wouldn't refuse. Lord, break my heart, break the church's heart, your body, your bride's heart, where your heart is broken. You're a holy God. I want to be able to ascend your holy mountain with pure hands and a clean heart. Cleanse us, O God. Wash us clean, O God. Forgive us our great sins. I probably prayed it before, but against you and you only have we sinned. When I am unkind to anybody or have a haughty eye or feet that are swift to rush to evil or a lying tongue, all of this is against you. When I don't feed the poor, when I ignore needs that I can meet, God, forgive me. It's against you I've sinned. Lord, I thank you for this portion of the body. I see so many seeking to be your hands and feet to the needy. But God, I don't think I'm that. So forgive me, Father. I want to be more like you. Thank you for your mercy that as we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I thank you for your word that convicts us not to tear us down, but to tear down the sin that separates us from you. Thank you for Jesus, that when he paid the price for my sins, when it says in Colossians, the record of all my sins, all my brothers and sisters' sins were nailed to the cross. That his blood expunged that sin. You wiped it clean. So, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for Psalm 103 that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you thrown our sins from us. So, God, it's not enough for us to be clean. Now I want to teshuva, to turn, to return to you, to change my thinking about my sinful ways, not just to say I'm sorry over and over, but to be made different, to look different, to act differently. And I can only do that as your Holy Spirit empowers me, as you empower us. So let us be changed, O God, by encountering our holy God. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of heaven's hosts, we ask you to strengthen us, strengthen your church, strengthen your people. And Lord, we need to have our hearts in right attitude towards your chosen people, towards Israel. So Father, we thank you for forgiving us. I ask for forgiveness, first of all, for not relating to your people correctly. Lord, you didn't choose them because they were the best people. You said you chose them because they're stubborn. That gives me hope. You don't choose me or other people because we're so good. We're not. You choose us out of your great love. So we thank you for the blood, the love of Jesus. And we plead that blood over us, over our nation, over this church, over your body, the bride, over Israel. And over all those who are unsaved, Lord God, while we were yet sinners, you loved us and gave your life for us. We want everyone to become a future brother and sister. So we pray for them as well, Lord God. In Yeshua's name I pray, amen.
If we could all pray this together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We praise your mighty name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord our hosts, Lord Jesus our King. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Blessings to all of you. Have a blessed afternoon. We'll see you back at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless you all.